Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's go back to 2011 and look at the World Cup with Squidge. Let's go back to 2011 and look at the World Cup with Squidge.
Hello and welcome back to the podcast that got ahead of the times, ahead of the curve in stopping broadcasting to respect Prince Philip's death. That was the reason we haven't had any episodes in a while. I anticipated... It's also the reason we're doing this now rather than 2011, because we thought it was
I was going to say, famously, the rugby podcast that talks about rugby matches from 10 years ago is ahead of the curve. There's no doubt.
No, we were going to do this podcast 10 years earlier.
Yeah.
But we thought Prince Philip was going to die in 2011.
We did also originally have this scheduled to go ahead in 2001, at which point I was 4 and you were 6. But the issue with that was that the Rugby World Cup 2011 hadn't happened yet. So it made it really difficult. So like, we actually... Didn't we start recording the episode on...
We did the first episode.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't know what the game was going to be or where it was going to be held. So it was just
abstract
noise.
It's amazing that we guessed it was New Zealand Tonga.
We didn't. No, if you listen back to it, we thought it was Na Na against Flong Tong.
I'm pretty sure we're better at speaking than that than we were 4 and 6.
Hey, no, I was not better at speaking than that a year
Either way, I'm pretty sure I predicted Lucky Lutui would be playing.
Oh, no, you did. Yeah, you explicitly mentioned Lucky Lutui. You just kept... You had that phase when you were about 4 of just talking about Lucky Lutui all the time.
Well,
and I didn't get it. I didn't know what that was about. Like, do all kids go through that?
I don't know if we've mentioned this on this podcast, but it's kind of embarrassing. But my first word was actually Loa Loko Tui.
Yeah. And it was annoying because, like, my first word was Soani Tonga Weir. And seeing as he was a bigger name, it made me look like I didn't know much about rugby.
Yeah.
You know, when you came up with like a more obscure Tongan player.
Second and I was quite... played sevens that one time.
Yeah.
Rather than like,
I was quite
top try scorer in the Premiership that one time. Ugh.
Exactly. Like, my first two words, I guess, were. Like a Tonga under 12s player, right? Now you look back on it and go, oh, Northampton Saints legend, Soani Tonga Weir. It's not
frustrating.
It's really embarrassing for me now. Yeah, I know. Like, I'd done really well, you know, I thought, but.
That said, I mean, Lucky Lutui's test or general rugby career, I guess at professional level, is probably longer than I've been alive, which is funny to think about. Because he played in the warm up for the 1999 Rugby World Cup. I can't remember who it was against or anything. I don't think he actually went to the World Cup. But I can only assume that he was playing at a decent standard for a couple of years before that. And he still plays.
Yeah. He's still going. Almost 10 years on from his retirement from Test Rugby.
Yeah. And here he's playing.
Which is incredible.
He's moved to tight head prop now, so he's moved across the right-hand side of the scrum. But fair play to him. May he keep going long into the
2030s. It's one of those situations where I really hope it's because he has this genuine burning passion for the game and never wants to retire. Rather than it's one of those situations you sometimes see with South Sea Island players where they have no other practical skills.
I don't know what else to go what to
not
do.
Not to be like rude about it, but you know, sometimes you see that of like people that put all their eggs in one basket and they go, well, I won't have another job as high paying as rugby, and so stretch it out. And good on him though, either way.
I just think he clearly enjoys scrummaging and hitting things, and obviously those are non transferable skills.
They could transfer into Parliament. Some satire for you there.
Thank you for the satire. I appreciate that. Again, RIP Prince Philip. But I don't know why I said that. That's not topical.
we're talking, of course, about Philip Berger, the former South African fly-half and fullback who was a prince, famously. Prince Gauseb, who played for Perpignan.
The thing is, right, you said Prince Klauseb is like, oh yeah, that's a much more understandable name. Like, and I was like, oh yeah, that's a good reference. But people don't know who that is, do they?
He plays flanker for Namibia.
Yeah.
And like, we had this conversation, a week ago or something, about rugby players that you remember far better than you should. And Philip Berger is forever burned into my mind, despite the fact he's a really obscure former player who played a handful of times with Perpignan and probably played for one of the sort of Currie Cup level.
Yeah.
Probably a bit of Super Rugby, South African teams. But I remember him really well because he had the lowest kicking trajectory of any 10 I've ever seen. He played mostly fullback. But he kicked the ball at basically the height of the bar, but he could welly it from halfway because he just put no effort into the height whatsoever. I loved it.
I can remember it was my first season of playing, so I was like under 13s, maybe under 14s. And at that level, basically it's a thing, as you'd know, that basically every kick that's not between the posts, you kind of expect to miss. And that's fine. And if somebody gets it from further out wide, you go, oh, fair play. That's actually, you know, they're a good kicker when they're that age.
Yeah.
And I just remember midway through my first season there, I played against Stamford. And I just remember that it was the only time that season I saw somebody go for goal from a kick. And they were 55 metres out, still between the posts.
Wow.
And I was just like, wait, what? The referee signaled for the post. And it was very windy. And that pitch went very far downhill. And the guy just nailed it, and it was a very Philip Berger thing of just, like, he hit it so it went an inch above the crossbar. And I was just thinking, like, no, you're not going to get very far with the kicking technique like that. Like, no, that shouldn't count. He didn't kick it properly. He didn't kick it like how Francois Steen would kick it, where it sails over the uprights. No, it should... If it only just goes over, you're not kicking it right. No, shut up. But he got three points.
That man's name was Andre Pollard.
Yes, and he was on loan at Stamford under 13s. Yeah.
Despite being 18 at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it was like Reece Hodge or somebody. I don't know.
Yeah. Reece Hodge regularly did that. He would just turn up at... He probably actually took the shot from Melbourne and it just happened to go through the post in Stamford.
Maybe that's it. I made up the bit about the referee pointing to the goal. I just saw... you know those yellow balls they only make in Australia?
Yeah, yeah.
One of them just sailed over the post. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, Reece Hodge is here.
Yeah. And the player just tucked me up a ball in his jumper. Like, yeah, I kicked that one. That was me, by the way. That ball that happened to fly overhead that had snow on it from passing through the atmosphere.
Oh, I appreciate that, but that...
You didn't realise anything fishy until you turned on the news and saw that ball that killed two people in the Philippines.
Oh,
it's just
man.
Been hit with
just
such
like
force.
Our podcast.
Which killed two people in the Philippines!
It has, yeah.
Is that just Cate Blanchett, which is forcing people's on people's ears?
So, yeah, basically, if you go on the Acast website now, which I assume you have it open in a tab there.
Always, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If you have that open right now.
Okay.
Click on the top, there's a thing, the analytics thing at the top.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you scroll down a little bit, there's a thing that says deaths.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've never seen that tab before. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's two in the Philippines. What else is there? I've not looked at that in at
There's one in Guernsey.
Guernsey?
I wonder if that's related to... You know when Warren Gatland went and someone got really angry by meeting a sandwich?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if it was a poison sandwich and Warren Gatland killed somebody when he was listening to this podcast.
I sure hope it wasn't anyone in Lions contention or Prince Philip. Oh, no, it was just Osprey's fault. Prince Philip, so...
Oh, that's very true. Do you want to explain that for anyone listening?
Oh, just the Ospreys last Friday as this is going out. Put up a tweet saying, like, big announcement at 12 p.m. and then a gif of, like, an explosion at 12 p.m. It's announced that Prince Philip died.
It was the Tony Stark with the explosion behind him. And it was captioned, boom.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Prince Philip died at 12 p.m. And it's like, well, the good news is Morgan Morris has re-signed.
But there was something really interesting about the state of the Squid Rugby Twitter and who I follow on that account. That when I opened Twitter, it was on that. And there was more about Morgan Morris re-signing for the Ospreys than there was about Prince Philip dying when I opened it like 5 minutes after it happened. And I found out through a line break rugby tweet about Mike Phillips and Prince Philip have a lot in common going out on 99.
Fair play. That's a solid tweet though.
That was, yeah. That's the kind of content you get from line break rugby.
Yes.
And that was how I found out that Prince Philip was dead.
It's funny to think that there was probably a conversation within the Ospreys social media staff about, do we still go ahead with this announcement? Because it's aged really poorly.
Their social media manager did tweet about it. Did tweet, right. Quote tweet it, like, I can explain. So, should we mention what we're doing now, today?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go for it.
So, this is a podcast looking back on the 2011 Rugby World Cup. It is the Squid Rugby World Cup retrospective.
Yeah.
This today is the Squid Rugby World Cup retrospective, where we're going to look back on the pool stages before we move on to the knockouts, partly because we said we put an episode out this week and we've had to move back because of guest reasons.
But it will be worth it and it will be up soon.
Yeah. No, all's going to be wonderful and grand. But it gave us a chance.
This is a retrospective, and it was a bonus episode that you wouldn't have had otherwise.
It was something we were thinking about doing anyway, but we're thinking of doing it far later along the line.
Yeah.
So here we are anyway. Yeah, so a bonus episode. We're going to run over every game, and the idea is we're going to try and describe it each in three words, and we'll see where we go from.
Yeah, we have not rehearsed this. We thought of this idea about 20 minutes ago. So you read one name out, and then we each do the ones, then I'll read out the next name out, and then we each do our things.
Okay, should we start? So I want to begin, firstly, with the opening ceremony.
Oh, yes.
How would you describe the opening ceremony of the 2011 Rugby World Cup in three words?
Three words or less, is it?
Three words or... exactly three words. Exactly three words.
Okay. Underwhelming, John Key.
I would go with Jonah Lomu dancing.
Oh, yes, of course.
Because that was the highlight, was Jonah Lomu really awkwardly dancing and looking very uncomfortable.
So, New Zealand 41, Tonga 10.
Taumalolo is glorious.
Taumalolo over Nonu.
Yeah, fair enough. Scotland 34, Romania 24.
Simon Danieli's resurgence.
Daniel Carpo table.
Oh, of course, yes. Well done to us not mentioning Chris Patterson there.
For anyone unaware, Chris Patterson missed a shot of goal between the posts and cursed the entire world.
For anyone who doesn't know, listen to our fucking podcast the whole way through from every single episode.
Well, they've done that, you know. Oh, yeah, they're here now.
Yeah, and Daniel Carpo made a table. anyway, enough on that. Fiji 49, Namibia 25.
Greatest of, then hyphenated, all time.
All rounder, that's hyphenated. Drop goals, tries. So it's kind of five, but two of them hyphenated.
Drop goals are not hyphenated, but that's fine. We won't stop you. But I do want to stop to have a moment on this game, because this is one of my all-time favourite rugby matches.
Me too. And I feel like I didn't quite do it justice in the episode. I've not listened to it since it went up or anything, but I feel like nothing we could have said about that game would have quite done it justice, like how incredible that was. And genuinely, I will say this now, and I'll probably end up using these words slightly later on as we go through all of these games, but if anybody is to watch back any game from this pool stage, I genuinely think this is top three, if not top one.
I think it's that. As I said, glorious. I think that there are other games that may fit better for different reasons.
Yes.
There may be other games that are perhaps more intense, that are closer, that perhaps there's, you know, quote-unquote better rugby played, but in turn I've never seen another rugby match with that intense a clash of styles, with two teams playing so effectively and completely like the opposite ends of how you can play rugby. And my favorite thing about rugby is how many different ways you can play it, and how many different ways you can approach it, and how you can, you know, the game evolves and changes completely, and you know, it's that thing. If people talk about rugby having a boring phase where defence is on top or kicking's on top. But that's part of why I love it, is because sometimes that'll happen, you know, and then 18 months down the line, suddenly the thing everyone is doing is counterattacking again because someone worked out a new sneaky technique that got around it. Or referees are judging the breakdown ever so slightly differently. And it changes the whole game completely. Yes. And everyone plays it entirely differently. Or, you know, teams that were brilliant 18 months earlier are suddenly terrible and losing quarterfinals and going out in the pool stage when they're beating the All Blacks earlier and our Ireland.
Great way to sum this up, right, is Namibia had a tactic of every time we get in there, anywhere in their half, we'll have a go at a drop goal. And if they miss, Fiji will go, right, we'll counterattack and go the length. Why don't we?
Exactly. Like, Fiji were throwing, you know, 16 pass tries and throwing offloads every single ball. Namibia kicked three drop goals in the opening 15 minutes.
It's a phenomenal test match. Like, yeah, I can't sell it well enough.
Yeah. It's like, I downloaded Rugby Union Team Manager Free a couple of days ago.
Of course.
And I started playing as Nottingham RFC with the intention it'd be fun to take them up to the Premiership and then, you know, hopefully work from there. I'm coming towards the end of my first season and I think we're going to get relegated. It's not going well. But there is a button on there you can click as the manager where you will then go for a drop goal every time you have a phase within striking range or within your 10's range.
Time's Costa mode.
Yeah, exactly. And once I had that on, because I was, you know, I was like 2 points behind, the opposition then scored a try. And then I made a break, got onto the opposition line, and I forgot I had that left on. So I then missed the drop goal when I had a wide open line in front of me if I'd recycled the ball. And that started the loss of momentum that's led to Nottingham RFC being about to get relegated. It's a terrible, terrible time, but I have signed Jamie Ritchie and Alex Craig, and they're both going to be playing in League One next season.
Hope you're not over the salary cap.
I'm actually, it's like my best attribute as manager. The thing the board are happiest with is my financial stability.
Okay, that's good.
Which means I'm clearly...
Shame about the results, but...
Yeah. Everything else is a shame. But, you know, hopefully I keep my job on. And, you know, I've thought about, do I just try and sign, like, Bowden Barrett and just blow all my money on that just to see if I can stay up? Then I thought, no. I've got one thing going for me. I might as well remain the manager who is financially... I'm the Alan Solomons, basically, of rugby management, you know?
It would be a downgrade from Shane O'Leary to Bowden Barrett for Nottingham. So.
Yes. I want to say, actually, Alan Solomons is the Alan Solomons of rugby management.
Yeah.
I'm the virtual Alan Solomons, you know? Yes. Of like, Alan Solomons is famous for the fact that everything behind the scenes runs really smoothly, but nothing on the pitch does.
Imagine Alan Solomons. Now imagine him pixelated.
Exactly. That's who I am, you know? And it's like everyone in comments who occasionally say something like, but Squidge would be great at coaching. It's like, this game is teaching you no.
Yes.
No, I am not.
And you just got this pixelated man wandering around going like, meet Morp, Jamie Ritchie. And that's you.
That's exactly who I am. And that's how I talk as well in real life. Should we move on with the other games?
Yes.
So, France 47, Japan 21.
Arledge, class, para?
A question mark.
Yes.
Yeah. Bloody hell, France.
Argentina 9, England 13.
Never again.
Okay, fair enough. Martin Rodriguez, donkey.
Yeah, that is one of the worst games of rugby. It's like that would have fitted perfectly on last Sunday in the Heineken Cup.
Yes.
Which was atrocious. Those Toulouse, Clermont and Bordeaux v Racing games, which were
I super enjoyed the 2 minutes where I was like, yes, this might go to extra time. That's always interesting.
No, I've never wanted extra time less. Like, normally, I think, you know, we're both the same and we love extra time. We love the tension of it. But, you know, so the... Again, I don't think you saw the end of that game.
No,
but
I didn't.
So Racing kick a penalty to put them, you know, like back level, and you think, oh, here we are. And it was like Maidar struck it terribly. Not Maidar, sorry. Machinot struck it terribly, but it still went over. And then Bordeaux seemingly scored a try to win it, but then that got disallowed for slightly bullshit reasons, Matt Carley reasons. And then they kicked for the corner. They then were driving this... Racing were then driving this maul forward from the penalty. And they were going, oh, you know, we're going to get this long-range shot at goal. You know, is there going to be penalty from this maul? They get turned over. Bordeaux win the penalty. Jalabert kicks it from his own half, wins it. And it was like both a great last 2 minutes and terrible and summed the game up because it was all just people being shit.
No,
it was an atrocious game of rugby that just made me hate everything.
I can remember those. I think it was Biarritz played Toulouse, was it? Or was it Toulon? And there was a final that went to extra time, or was it semi-final?
That was, Toulouse-Biarritz, 2009.
Yeah, I just remember Dimitri Aspili just being like, oh yeah, extra time, this is right my bag. And us simultaneously being slightly bored with the game and loving the fact it was in extra time.
Yeah.
And there was a real dilemma in that.
The best example, of course, is Lens to Toulon a number of years ago that went to extra time and a cat ran
Lee
on the pitch.
Lee Halfpenny. Oh, yeah.
A cat ran on the pitch and they suspended extra time to pause it while they got the cat off the pitch. It's like, that is the dream scenario. That's what I want to happen in a World Cup final.
Yes. Imagine that, but a dog.
Whoa.
That'd be even better.
What kind of dog?
A small one.
Okay. Okay. I'm listening.
And maybe a good one.
A good boy.
A good boy.
You're saying a good boy on the pitch?
A good boy on a rugby pitch.
Okay, we need this to happen. And then maybe Barry John can trip over him. There's an obscure reference.
Australia 32, Italy 6. Oh, wait, I read out the last one, but still.
That's fine. Surprisingly comprehensive victory.
I think that's fair. Semenzato. Oh, well.
It's one of those, like the Italy women had this weekend, where they were really good for 50-odd minutes.
Yeah.
And then they just fell apart because he did so many tries that it looks like
a
blowout.
The scoreboard just really, really does not do them any favours.
Ireland 22, USA 10.
Paul Emmerich, intercept.
Tommy Bowe, yay.
Okay. South Africa 17, Wales 16.
Sam Warburton, good.
Fory Dupria.
Great.
Oh, that's three words.
Oh, okay. I was counting Dupria as one word.
Okay, Fory Dupria, great. Yeah.
Yeah. because I think that's a Sam Warburton game, but then watching it back, I remember that Foy Dupree was better than him in that game. Which was a depressing realisation that shook my entire world.
The thing is, right, I didn't have that realisation until, because obviously that was the episode we had Ali Stokes on.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't realise until you guys had both said Foy Dupree was man of the match. I was like, shit, they're right. And like, I just watched the game.
Yeah. It's funny how rugby is evolving to such a point that Foy Dupree would be normal in about 5 years' time. Yeah. You know, like, it's moving at such a rate that we're going to eventually have other players who are as good as him just being
Mind you, I do think he's, like, the timeless scrum half. Think that, like, even more so than, you know, your George Gregans or Gareth Edwards or to an extent, Yeust, but less so. I just think Foy Dupree, like, no matter how much the game changes, he'll always be.
Okay, you mentioned Gareth Edwards there, and I think it's really interesting because Antoine Dupont has kind of ended my question marks of whether Gareth Edwards would work nowadays.
Yeah.
Because I think Antoine Dupont is the closest thing they've had to Gareth Edwards since Gareth Edwards.
Oh, that's quite an interesting argument.
Because he is this just magician who pops up and does things from scrum off that no one else in the world could do. But he's an entirely capable player in other
regards.
That's
an interesting point.
And I think Dupont is basically the player. I think he's basically the player. He's as close to the player Edwards would be in the modern game as we'll ever get to see.
Interesting. I'm not really sure. I want to disagree with you, but no, that's a really interesting point. Yeah, anyway, I'm just going to move on because I don't know what else to say.
Sure.
Samoa 49, Namibia 12.
DJ Khaled! Khaled's two words now.
Yeah, or DJ is two words.
DJ, yeah.
Wait, I'm just going to check what DJ Khaled's real name is.
DJ Forbes!
DJ Khaled's real name is Khaled Mohammed Khaled.
There we go,
so
then.
His name is Khaled Khaled.
Wait, so, yeah, so is the Khaled in DJ Khaled referring to his first or surname?
I guess. Well,
it's like when,
it's convenient like when you've got two of the same name. It's just like, it makes it a lot easier to pick a DJ name, doesn't it?
When Snotty's fine. No,
yeah, exactly.
We should have had, when we had, like, Nick Heave or Sam Roberts on, we should have asked them, when you refer to Snotty as just Snotty, are you referring to him by his surname, or are you just being really unfamiliar?
Informal, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking that maybe the reason why DJ Khaled was so friendly with the Samoan team is because of the likes of Alofa Alofa and Elia and Sinati Sinati and whichever other players have the same name twice.
It must be. It must be. It's the only possible explanation. I'm not taking an answer for you. I think the correct answer for that round is DJ Khaled.
Yeah, no, that was going to be my answer.
Yeah, okay. Tonga 20, Canada 25.
Oh, proper test match.
An absolute banger.
Scotland 15, Georgia 6.
Thank you, Cammy.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
Thank you, Cammy Black, for making that somehow one of the most entertaining episodes we've done. Yeah, entirely genuinely. Down to him being the perfect man to talk about Scotland being terrible and boring.
But still winning.
Yeah. Like, that is exactly Cammy's his ballpark, and he was excellent.
My three words are Scottish rugby podcast.
Yes. USA 15, Russia 6.
I mean, it was 13, not 15.
Oh, I've got it written down wrong here.
Blaine Scully legend.
Extra points for Scully. Two extra points. I'm giving two extra points just for being Blaine Scully.
Yeah. And you get a fourth word in that because Blaine Scully is the best.
One of them is Blaine Scully. Every now and again, Blaine Scully, I have like a text conversation with Blaine Scully and it always makes my day.
I wish I had a text conversation with Blaine Scully.
I'm just saying that to make everyone
jealous. Hey Blaine, here's my number. 0751. New Zealand 83, Japan 7.
That's a weird phone number. So, Ma Nonu, pretty good.
Ruined pretty by good. Callum is my
phone. Okay. Yeah, that needs context. But
it's around 80. Yeah, that's in the episode.
Okay.
That was also the episode where we got P Money on. So, that was a great episode.
What a guy P Money was. What a hospitable guest. So Argentina 43, Romania 8.
Lucas Gonzalez Amorosino.
Lucas Gonzalez Amorosino is also mine.
Yeah. South Africa 49, Fiji 3.
Boring yet quality.
Okay. Heinick Brosseau chip.
Yes, that was a very nice moment. Heinick Brosseau doing a chip kick to explain that in more words for anyone unaware of the moment being referred to by Mr. William Owen, who I did not introduce earlier. high, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's
me. Congratulations on your work on the 15.
Hey, thanks,
big fan
man.
Of your work. Australia 6, Ireland 15.
Go on, Tommy.
This is a quote from our guest on this that episode, Tom Savage, when I suggested he did that game. That was the game he did when we had him on as a guest. The spiciest game.
Fair play. I like that.
He described that as the spiciest game in the spiciest era of Irish rugby.
Okay, I will take that.
Yeah.
That is why Tom is so successful for takes yeah. such as that. I thought that his three words on that would be, I like beans, but I'll take it.
He's less mundane than that. Wales 17, Samoa 10.
Can't tackle Peronese.
Can't tackle Halfpenny.
Fair play.
With his scrum cap being readjusted as he runs.
Yes.
Gave us that iconic moment that'll last forever. Yeah.
England 41, Georgia 10.
Haylet Petty, which is one word because it's hyphenated. Loose women.
Oh, yes. Of course that was the episode. Xander Fagerson ball ring.
If someone hasn't listened to that episode, that's so cryptic. But we're moving on to France 46, Canada 19.
Ander Monroe, what?
What a mad hat trick.
What a mad hat trick.
A
mad hat trick, yes. Yeah, that'll do. Italy 57, Russia 17.
Going full Sergio.
Yanushkin makes history.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This brings us to the halfway point in the World Cup, and I think this is as good a point as any to embrace the last day of terms vibes we've got going on.
Yeah, this is a major leaving party we've got going on.
Yeah.
I've got cocktail sausages here and everything.
It's yeah, great. I mean, I've got...
you're sipping
you
Coke?
That, do you remember that game from... Do you remember, right, here's some behind-the-scenes info, right? I've done the Blood Mud podcast quite a few times.
Yes.
And more times than not, both Lee and Josh are drinking Diet Coke on air.
Really?
Or Pepsi Max. Yeah, yeah. Oh. Lee prefers Diet Coke, I think, and Josh Pepsi Max.
This
that's
is
their drink, their beverage
I
of
say
choice.
That whilst I'm sipping my still Scottish mountain water by Sainsbury's.
No, I remember I was going to tell a really boring anecdote. I'm not going to do that. Okay, instead, we are going to play a game, as is traditional
yes.
on the last day of term. You know, when you bring board... I wonder if this is the thing in other countries outside of, you know, the UK and Ireland, where you bring in board games on the last day of term.
Yeah, and you just sit in and watch films and shit. What films have you watched on the last day of term before?
Do you want to know... A great one. The Boy in Striped Pyjamas.
Okay, that beats my... Because I can remember on the last day of term watching Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, man!
Yeah.
Did you get all the way through, or did you do the thing
you got
where
the whole
one
way
lesson?
Through.
It wasn't one lesson, so you watched an hour in.
No. We managed to watch the whole thing. We started at the start of the day. And
okay.
I think we ended up watching like Romeo and Juliet towards the end of something, and that got cut short.
Which stars, of course, Jason Statham.
Yes, who has been on this podcast or something.
As Tybalt.
Know. There was Napoleon Dynamite we watched once.
How did the dancing
and funny
go
enough,
down?
In fact, you know what? I'm gonna scratch that story and I'm gonna tell a different anecdote, which is super sketchy. So I'm not gonna say his name, but you remember my old form tutor, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he was a really nice guy. I really got on with him. And Occasionally, he would have these desperate attempts of being down with the kids.
Oh, no.
He had his own ways. He had his own mannerisms, which were really popularised, and everybody knew. When you say this guy's name, people would move his hands in the way he does, speaking his intonation, that kind of thing. It was very easy to nail it down. And there was a point in the middle of that day, but I think it was after we'd watched Napoleon Dynamite, we decided not to move on to another film because people's attention spans are short.
Sure.
So in the middle, we'll maybe listen to some music and just play games on you. DSIs or whatever we had back then. And one of the songs that we played on that was Friday by Rebecca Black.
Yeah.
At which point one of the hard kids in the class starts going, "Oh, Rebecca Black, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, Rebecca Black," sort of thing. And then the form teacher goes, "If you had the chance, would you?"
Oh my God, what?
Yeah. In a way that was, I could tell it was satire.
Mm.
But it's still a problematic thing to ask a 15-year-old.
Yes. Okay, I have a lot of thoughts on the Rebecca Black thing, and I don't know what to say, but I've got another project that has involved me doing a lot of research into that a couple of months ago. So I still at this moment know an awful lot about Rebecca Black and her life story. So I could talk to you at length about it, but she was 13, man. And those conversations were happening on the other side of the world for something she did that she didn't think 200 people would watch. I find that whole story, like, I've said this before, but, like, I think what happened to Rebecca Black, and this is a complete tangent, is the biggest case of mass bullying in human history.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched that Britney documentary, and yes. I think that's certainly
There. Matt, like, some of the questions she got asked as a kid, man.
There was that thing where there was that her 10 years old on TV. And the presenter was like, "Oh, have you got a boyfriend?" Which, for starters, like, even as a friendly opener, that's pretty, pretty bad.
Yeah.
And then going like, oh, why not? Do you not like boys? It's like, no, they're mean. It's like, what about me? Do you think I'm mean? Like, this dude is coming on to a 10-year-old here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that becomes the whole, I don't know. But there's such a culture, and again, these, I don't want to lead on to, you know, other stuff, like, whatever. But
happy last day of term.
Yeah. But there was that whole culture of, like, Britney Spears, Mary-Kate and Ashley, of these people who were famous because they were photogenic young girls, and it then garnered this sort of weird attention from older men, and they were all kind of shaped as what, you know, men in boardrooms often thought they wanted their daughters to look like, or they wanted other girls to look like, and what they, I don't know, it's a whole really uncomfortable thing. But we were going to play a game. I was trying to interest
Let's
into
play
that.
A game.
Let's
play
do
a game.
That. Right. Let's let's segue off question, like, something that probably is child abuse but doesn't stand up in a court of law, to a game that is not child abuse.
I was going to say, I didn't sign up for this bit.
Yeah. Normally people don't sign up. Anyway, so this is a game that I have in my head, and soon it's going to be in your ears. This is the worst introduction anyone's ever done to anything. Cool. Okay, so we are going to play a game, right? The setup of this game is we will each take it in turns to name a category for the other person. All these categories are rugby related. At first, I was going to aim for them to be 2011 rugby related. They are no longer that. And frankly, that would have been quite boring because we would have run out of... There's only so many times you can run through the Romanian squad, you know?
Sure.
So, what we have is we're going to go through some categories each. I would, as a sample question... this is the same one I gave to you when I was explaining the format. I might say, since Johnny Wilkinson retired in 2011, six players have worn the number 10 jersey for England. Can you name them? Right? You would then say, begin to name some of them. So if you said...
I would name Toby Flood.
Yep, yeah, correct.
Freddie
yeah.
Burns.
Yep. Yeah.
Danny Cipriani.
Yep, yeah, so those are all correct.
Oh no, I don't remember any of the rest.
So at that point, you could call... You know, for pass for you guys to be over, at which point you would bank 3 points. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you then said, for instance, Kyle Sinclair or George Gregan or Stephen Myler, or if you gave an incorrect answer, you would lose all the points you'd made up to that point. Okay?
Yeah. So there's an element of tactics to this.
Yeah. So, and you'll have a limited amount of time. So we're saying sort of 10, 15-ish, 20 seconds, you know, between each answer. If you have a timeout or you give an incorrect answer, you lose all of your points.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I hope this makes sense to everyone at home.
Yeah. And for anybody wondering, George Ford and Owen Farrell were two of the remaining ones, and I can't think of who they were.
Hold on. So the, we. Oh, Charlie Hodgson.
Charlie Hodgson, of course.
Charles and Charlie. Charlie Hodgson. Yeah. Okay. So, should I
start?
Do you
want to go first? Yeah, you go first.
Okay. So, I'm going to start with a reasonably topical one. Okay.
Okay.
8 Munster players were named in the initial touring squad for the 2009 British and Irish Lions.
Oh,
can
okay.
you name them?
Okay. Alan Quinlan, definitely.
Yeah, that's one.
I'm not going to lock this answer in yet, but I think Keith Earls was, but I'm going to think about that because he
no,
might
no, no,
have
no, if you say
that.
One, I'll take it from there. Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that's my warning.
Okay. Or no, I'll take that as time in which you haven't given an answer.
Okay. Okay.
So you can talk around it, but yeah. So I'll
How
give you like,
got?
Like, so like 15 seconds? 15, okay. 20, 20 seconds. Ronan O'Gara, yeah, that's two.
Donica O'Callaghan.
Donica O'Callaghan, three.
Paul O'Connell.
Paul O'Connell, who was captain, of course. That's four you've got.
Jerry Flannery.
Jerry Flannery's five, yeah.
God, I thought we might have got up. No, I'll lock that in.
Okay, you're taking that. You're taking out of five.
Yeah, I'm taking five.
Okay.
I have a feeling Tomas O'Leary might have been, but I don't know if he was called up. Same with Keith Earls.
So you're taking the five, yeah?
I'm taking the five.
Okay. Now, if you'd added those two extra answers in, you would have had a score of 7.
Oh, no way. I had a feeling Keith Earls was called up for Halfpenny for some reason, but...
No, Keith Earls did take Bill from Halfpenny when Halfpenny got injured.
That's it.
So
that's
was the
it.
Youngest Lion.
Ah, okay.
So the one you're missing is David Wallace.
David Wallace.
Who, to be fair, I would have forgotten as well, I think.
Yeah.
He's a
okay,
weirdly
I'm happy
forgettable
with the score
player.
Of five.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm happy with a score of 5. Okay.
Okay.
Sticking to the South African theme, mm-hmm. Can you name all 13 clubs Bjorn Basson has played for in his senior career?
Okay. Right. So, we have the San Diego Legion.
Correct, that's one. I will also say, if he's played for the same club twice, they count as two separate ones.
Oh, okay. The Blue Bulls.
Correct.
Are the Bulls, the Curry Cup Bulls, listed separately to the Super Rugby Bulls?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so that's three.
Yeah.
And I want to say he had two spells there, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
Montpellier?
No.
No! Oh, man.
He did not play for Montpellier. So I'm going to name these in order, okay?
Okay.
So, the Griquas, the Cheetahs, the Bulls, okay. The Blue Bulls, the Honda Heat, the Blue Bulls 15, the Stormers, Western Province, Oyonnax, the Southern Kings, the Griquas again, Ensai STN, and the San Diego Legion.
I knew he played in Russia as well, but I wasn't going to...
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was Ensai, Kranziar.
To be fair, I think Montpellier isn't actually too bad a guess because it feels like the sort of club that was... he's a South African player who they can sign cheaply.
Yeah, I can picture him in a Montpellier jersey.
Yeah, no, me too. Okay. I think that totally makes sense. So
oh,
unlucky
man. I'm surprised there's only one French club in there.
Yeah, me too. I thought he'd done the rounds in France.
Yeah.
Clearly he went from South African player to going to Japan and back to South Africa, getting back to the national team maybe for a little bit, and then just going, right, let's go completely off the rails and go everywhere in Europe and around the world.
I love that he's done 13 seasons. He hasn't played in the Premiership, hasn't played in the Pro 14, has played
Jumped
one
straight
season
to
in France.
MLR.
Yeah, gone straight to MLR, played in Russia. He needs to do a Manuel Montero or...
Yes.
Nalanga, that's it, yeah, and play in SLAR.
Yes.
That's what I
okay,
want.
Okay, so after one round each, it's 5-0 to me.
It's 5-0. 5-0.
Okay.
Okay.
Your turn.
So, Jonah Lomu, do you know who he is?
I've heard of him. He dances, doesn't he?
Yeah. Okay. Jonah Lomu scored international tries against 9 different nations. Can you name them?
Okay. Oh, interesting. So... I know he didn't score against Wales. So, I'm going to go England.
Yes, correct.
South Africa.
Incorrect.
No!
Never scored against the Springboks.
My God. So, I've got 0 points. It would be like
points.
England, Ireland, Scotland, Australia, Italy.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ.
Argentina, you're missing... who did you say? Did you say Ireland? Oh, no, you did say Ireland, yeah.
No.
France,
yeah.
Samoa... And Tonga.
That's the Springboks. Wow.
Yeah.
Fair play.
There's 3 teams he played against who he never
of course,
scored against.
Because of Joost.
Yeah. Which are Wales, South Africa, and Fiji. He played Fiji once, didn't score against them. Played Wales 3 times, never scored against them. Played South Africa 12 times and never scored against them.
Okay.
Which is an incredible record.
On the other end of the scale, my next category is Census Johnston has scored 4 test tries. And I will warn you, the same team might come up twice here.
Okay.
But if you guess them once, I will give you the amount of points.
Right.
For that. So.
Jesus Christ, what a question. Okay.
So, who's he scored against internationally?
Oh, man, we're going back quite a way, I reckon. Because I can't remember him scoring any test tries, so I reckon it's probably before I was regularly watching Samoa play.
Interesting.
All of these are going to have to be shots in the dark. Yeah. I'm going to say Wales.
Incorrect. So, he scored one try against Argentina, he scored three against Tonga. So, if you said Tonga, I'd have given you 3 points for that.
Okay.
So, he scored a brace against them in 2007, he scored against them in 2006, he scored against Argentina in 2005. So, you're correct, before we watched Samoa. So, it's still 5-0 to me, is it?
5-0, no points in that round.
Interesting.
Okay. 10 different players were featured on the various covers of Rugby 08.
Oh.
How many can you name?
Okay. You know what? Johnny Wilkinson.
Incorrect.
No way.
Johnny Wilkinson was a Rugby 04, rather. He was not featured since.
Okay. Was Simon Shaw on there?
No.
Maybe I just associate that England kit with Simon Shaw. Go on, who was on there?
So, Richie McCaw was on Every Nation.
Mm-hmm.
In Australia and Asia, there was also Sterling Mortlock.
Okay.
In France, it was McCaw and Yannick Nyanga.
Right.
In Ireland, it was just Ronan O'Gara.
Okay.
In Italy, it was Maro and Mirko Bergamasco. In South Africa, it was Brian Habana, Schalkberger, and Andre Pretorius.
No!
Fair
play.
And then in the UK, it was Richie McCaw and Mark Cueto.
Mark Cueto, of course!
Yeah.
I remember that now. Of course, I could visualise his pose in my head. And I just thought that must be like Toby Flood or someone, or Danny Grocock. Mark Cueto, wow. Well, you mentioned Mauro Bergamasco there. In his test career, he wore 9 different numbered jerseys.
Oh, wow, okay.
Can you name them all?
Okay, 9.
9 different numbers he wore in his test career.
Well, one of them was number 9. Number 9. One of them was number 7.
Yep.
Number 6.
Yep.
Number 19.
Yep.
Number 20?
Yeah.
That's 5, did you say it? We've got there.
That's 5.
Okay. Number 8?
Incorrect.
Oh, man. I didn't want to chance the arm.
Oh,
I didn't want to do
it. You nearly managed to match me there. You could have banked that.
I was going to, but then I thought, if number 8 is on there, it's too obvious for me to have not taken the point.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
Okay, so the test jerseys worn by Mauro Bergamasco are 7.
Yeah.
6.
Yeah.
9.
Mm-hmm.
19. 20.
He's played on the wing, hasn't he?
18.
Yeah.
11 and 14.
Of course he's played on the wing.
He's played
both wings.
I thought
that when you said it initially, but I didn't use it in the answer.
Oh. This is getting tense now. I actually quite like this.
It's a good game, man. I like it.
It is. Not to
toot my own horn. Okay. Okay. This might be my favourite question. Okay. Ruddy Data.
Oh, yes!
Has uploaded 7 videos labelling something by a player terrible, using that word in particular, terrible, not horrible, not anything else, the word terrible.
Okay.
Okay. Plus 1 by referee, which I'll give you triple points for, if you can get the referee.
Okay.
Okay. How many can you name? 7 labelling.
One of them, naming the players.
Yeah. Just naming the players. Okay. So the 7 players, one of them is in there twice. If you want to take a gamble at them being twice, which one is being twice, fair enough. You get a second point for that.
I'm going to say Ronan O'Gara.
Ronan O'Gara, yeah.
And I'm going to bank it. That's all I'm going to say.
You're going to take that 1 point and
I'm going to take the 1 point for Ronan O'Gara.
Okay, fair enough. You could have had Andy Powell.
Is that the run against Italy?
Yeah. Into touch, sideways.
Yeah.
You could have had Conor Murray for a box kick. You could have had Niall Horgan for a pass. You could have Jamie Roberts. You could have had Merab Kvirikashvili. You could have had Ronan O'Gara again. And the referee. Do you want to take a stab at the referee?
I would never get this.
Neil Hennessy.
Oh, Christ. Okay.
Yeah. There's actually 2 videos. There was one Neil Hennessy. It was like unfair refereeing and one that's terrible refereeing.
Right. The thing is, I knew that the second one would also be O'Gara, but I thought I'd take my 1 point and run.
Yeah. Fair enough. I can't blame you.
Next up.
Okay.
Speaking of refereeing decisions,
mm-hmm.
6 players have been red carded for England.
Oh,
who are they?
So, Elliot Daly.
Yep. It's mad that he's on that list.
Yeah, and he's the first one that always comes to mind.
Yeah.
And I'm now kind of struggling to think of another England player who's been red carded.
Are you Googling this?
No. I was trying to add something onto one of my other answers.
Okay.
England, I'm probably about to run out of time, aren't I?
I'll give you 10 seconds from now.
Trying to think it'll be someone. I'm sure there's someone more recent, but I can't think of anyone. It won't be Dylan Hartley. The one that comes to mind is Simon Shaw. I'm going to say Simon Shaw.
Okay. And we'll bank those two on a time.
Sure. Okay. I'll bank Simon Shaw.
They're
Simon Shaw,
correct.
Right.
Yes,
oh,
they're
man.
Both correct.
Simon Shaw came to mind right away, but I can't pick the actual red card itself. And I know I need more points than one.
The six answers are Mike Burton from the 1970s.
No idea who he is.
Danny Grewcock.
Okay.
Simon Shaw.
Okay, that makes sense.
Lewis Moody.
Okay.
Elliot Daly. And, see if you remember this, in injury time against Wales in 2020,
Manu Tuilagi.
Manu Tuilagi got
Manu a red card. Tuilagi, of course!
Yeah. How weird is that?
Oh,
it was
man.
Like ages ago.
Yeah. The last game before lockdown.
Yeah. Mad, isn't it?
Like, I was watching that in a pub in Twickenham and it was packed. But yeah. Everyone knew about coronavirus at that point and you just had like some hand wipes out.
Yeah. I came home from having played a match that day.
Wow.
Thinking like, oh yeah, well, I'm not going to have many more of those. And yeah, England beat Wales. So yeah, so the score is now 6-2
okay.
to me.
Now, I have one that I've done. I was going to do an introduction question that is comically easy.
Okay.
And you'll probably run the gamut and get all of them. And I have another that's a really high scorer. And I don't know if you've got any that high scorers or if I'm going to be...
I've got one that has 14 answers and one that has 18.
Okay, I've got one that's got 44 answers here.
Oh, Christ.
So we're going to do that, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Since 2010, 44 players have been named the Osprey Supporters Club Player of the Month.
Oh, okay.
Okay. How many can you name? This is Player of the Month, not Player of the Season.
Okay, Andrew Bishop.
Hold on, I'm going to need to scroll through the list. Just be a second.
Control F, Bishop.
That's a great idea. Andrew Bishop is not on there.
No!
Andrew Bishop is not on there. Andrew Bishop was so underrated that he was never the Ospreys Supporters Club player.
He was my banker. I remember Ricky January winning it once as well, on the month he was there.
Ricky January... What I said since 2010. He was there in 2009.
2010. Oh, wow, okay. I can't believe Andrew Bishop never won it. Robbed, man.
I know. That's mad.
So there's 44 answers and I got none.
Yeah. Do you want a speed round of answers?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay, so actually, for a bonus point that only counts in the case of a tiebreaker, okay, can you guess the player who has won it the most times?
Okay. I genuinely would have guessed Bishop for that.
Mm.
Justin Tipperick.
Dan Bigger. Justin Tipperick is second. Bigger.
I thought about Dan Evans as well, but...
Dan Evans is joint second with Tipperick.
Right.
You've then got players that won it multiple times, we'll just do Ryan Jones, Sam Davis, Alan Wynne-Jones, Duncan Jones, and Jeff Haslip all won it three times or more.
Okay. You nearly said Duncan Weir.
Some obscure answers. I say in a Tonga. These are what would be your pointless answers. Scott Otten, Morgan Morris, of course, the most recent winner. He's won it twice now. Sam Lewis.
Who's re-signed.
Tito Tibaldi.
Wow.
Brendan Leonard won it. David Howells once, Morgan Allen, who now plays rugby league, then Kai Evans once, that was in the dark days, you know, Gareth Thomas, you know, there you are, there's some answers. Now the real trivia answer here, the only person to win player of the season but never win player of the month is Dan Lydiot.
No way.
What a guy.
Player of every month.
Yeah, exactly.
Love that guy. Okay, so my fifth round.
Okay.
Teams that Simon Webster has played against for Scotland. There are 14 of them.
Okay. Okay. Wales.
Yep.
I remember him getting injured playing against Wales in 2007. New Zealand.
Yep. That was the New Zealand one. First time he ever played inside centre. Was off the bench against the All Blacks.
Wow. Okay. These are individual teams. These aren't caps.
Yeah, individual teams.
Okay, individual teams. Right, okay. So, let's say Ireland.
Correct.
No, he plays for Scotland, of course. England.
Yep.
Okay, that's five. Four.
Four,
okay. France.
Yep.
Italy.
Yep.
Banking that.
Okay,
banking
so you've
six.
Got six there. So, he's played against... Oh, so that puts you ahead, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Ireland, Wales, England, Italy, France, Samoa, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Romania, Pacific Islands, Portugal, Argentina, Canada.
Okay, okay. I thought about taking punts on Australia and South Africa, but, you know, I'm happy with that. I'll take that. Okay, I have a really easy question and a really hard question. Okay. And I was considering just having the really hard question as a bonus only, but we're going to do it as a proper question now.
Okay.
So, Paul Grayson is the top point scorer in Northampton Saints history. Okay. Three players...
Name have... every point he scored.
Yes. Three players have come within half of his points tally.
Oh,
can you name them?
In the Premiership only.
Premiership in Europe.
Okay. Okay.
Though I guess, no, actually, it's all time. It's all time. So there's before... It was formerly the Premiership when it was the First Division,
yeah,
and so on.
Okay. Owen Farrell.
No, sorry, for Northampton Saints.
Oh, for Northampton Saints. Okay, not Owen Farrell then. Okay.
Yeah, I won't accept that as an answer.
No, yeah. Oh, it's bigger than the longest? Probably not.
For reference, right, Paul Grayson scored 2,786 points for Northampton.
Jesus, that's a lot of points.
Yeah.
Carlos Spencer.
Incorrect. Okay.
I was going to say either Ryan Lamb or Stephen Myler. Or
Stephen Myler. Stephen Myler is second.
Okay.
So Stephen Myler scored 2,655 points. So he's not actually far behind.
No, it's
like
not.
He's less than 100 behind. Which then the next closest is Roger Hosen.
Don't know who that is.
Who played for them between 1955 and 1967 and scored 1,463 points.
Jesus.
Which is incredible. To say,
that is phenomenal.
You know, tries were worth 4 points back then.
Yeah.
And yeah, like that's phenomenal. And the other guy is John Steele, who played in 1988 to 1994.
Right. No, fair enough. No qualms at me missing that one.
That's a really tricky question.
That does confirm that you've actually won this, because this is the final one, isn't it?
Okay, yeah.
So, the last question that I have for you, there are 18 of these for you to get, and if you don't get them all, you're going to be a bad person. Guests from the pool stages of the Squidge Rugby World Cup retrospective podcasts. So, it does not count hosts Robbie Owen or Will Owen, but guests that we have had on.
So, Rhiannon Garth-Jones.
Yeah.
Sam Lana.
Yeah.
Adam Jenkins. Sav from Linebreak Rugby. Tom Savage. What am I at? Sorry?
You're at five.
Five out of...
18.
Five out of 18. Ben James.
Yeah.
Ali Stokes. Blaine Scully. Mm-hmm. Connor Trainer. Gareth Mason.
Yeah.
Nick Heath. Sam Roberts. What am I at now?
12.
12. So I've got how many left?
Six.
Okay. Jamie Wall. Graham Love.
Four more
to go. Oh man, I'm sure I know they should all be really obvious. The fact that I've got so close almost makes it worse for whoever I miss out. Harry and Nelson Dale.
Yeah.
Are they separate?
They're separate.
They're separate, they're two, okay.
So you've got two left.
Two left. Elgin Alderman.
Yes.
And one more.
They're going to take this so personally.
Oh man, okay. Have I said Sam Lana?
You said Sam Lana,
I've said Sam Lana. Right, okay.
Do you want a clue?
Who is...
You've already said this person's name in this podcast.
Cammy Black.
It's Cammy Black.
Cammy Black. Oh, man, okay. Saving the best for last. Did they get the all? They run the gamut?
Yeah, that was all of them. So, fair play.
Hey, for you, okay.
I thought on this celebration episode, it'd be good to, you know, give them all thanks again.
No, thank you.
They're all legends. And they were all brilliant on the episode of this.
They were. So, okay, easy, what was going to be, you know, like opening question then for you as a, you know, as a bonus round,
yes.
Okay? 25 nations have qualified for the Rugby World Cup. Can you name them?
Okay. Just ever.
Ever, yeah.
Okay, Wales.
Have qualified and actually played a game in the Rugby World Cup.
Yes.
Wales, yeah.
Wales. Ireland.
Yeah.
Scotland.
Yeah.
England.
Yeah.
France.
Yeah.
Italy.
No, actually, yes.
New Zealand.
Yes.
Argentina.
Yes.
Australia.
Yes.
South Africa.
Yes.
Canada.
Yes.
USA.
Yes.
Uruguay.
Yes.
Namibia.
Yes.
Japan.
Yeah.
Russia.
Yeah.
Romania.
Yeah.
Georgia.
Have you said Georgia?
No.
No, you haven't. No, sorry. No, yeah.
I named the Six Nations teams and...
Yeah, yeah, no.
Countries probably blue. They're not included in that. Portugal.
Yes.
Spain.
Yes. There's five more.
I take it we're not counting American Samoa.
No, no, sorry. I should specify that, yeah. So yeah. So all Samoas are counted as Samoa.
Well, yeah.
So no, Western Samoa is Samoa.
Oh, boy. So there's five left.
There's five left, but I'm actually not sure what some of them are.
Yeah, I feel
like...
Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe, yeah.
So that's 21 I'm at, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm missing somebody who was at the last World Cup.
Yes, you are. Yeah, no, sorry, I've just realised who you're missing, yeah.
Oh, I'm missing three. Fiji.
Yeah.
Samoa.
Yeah.
Tonga.
Yeah, and one more.
So there's one more. And I take it we've ditched the scoring on the game now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think this would equalise if we were actually playing this.
Oh, probably, yeah.
If we included the thing about guests. But there'd be no point me taking a 1-point loss. I might as well gamble this. I'm really not sure, you know. Do you think I know this?
I think you'll know it when you hear it, but I don't know whether you'd know. I don't know if I'd know. I know they'd qualified for a World Cup, but I don't know if I would have got it when
I feel like they played. It was somebody who played in one of the early ones where there was like no South Africa or whatever. I should just guess a country, shouldn't I? At this point,
it was like pre-1999, like an amateur World Cup.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just gonna take a complete punt at this and say Chile.
It's the Ivory Coast.
Ivory Coast. I did know that. I did
Who
know
qualified
that.
In which year?
Did they play 95?
Yeah. Correct. Spot on. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I did know that. Anyway, should we go back to the games from this World Cup?
Yeah. You know.
Go through them. Congratulations on your victory, by the way.
Just to note, the Ivory Coast national rugby team are known as Les Elephants.
Amazing. They Big up Sylvain Tian, the yes. only Ivorian rugby player I know. So.
Next one is Tonga 31, Japan 18.
Leech, very good.
Japan, unlucky. Sorry.
South Africa, 87, Namibia, 0.
A big blowout.
Lion Tamers, mad.
Australia, 67, USA, 5.
Scully was robbed.
Oh, man. Yeah, you're spot on. Ashley Cooper, hey.
England, 67, Romania, 3.
Two better than Australia.
Cueto hat-trick, tired.
New Zealand, 37, France, 17.
Carter, too good.
Shut up, Lee Avermont.
Yeah, fair enough.
Which is just like valid for every France game, really.
Yeah. Fiji 7, Samoa 27.
Ooh, not very interesting.
Fotuoli is okay.
That's a statement that you could absolutely make. Ireland 62, Russia 12.
Andrei Garbazov, shithousery.
Kiefer's asleep.
Fair enough. Because, of course, that was also the one where Leo Cullen kicked away the scrum cap. And
oh, yeah.
There was the fight going on in the middle where Andrew Trimble didn't know what to do with Denis Antonov. That was funny.
And
that was a great dick of the day game.
Wonderful, deliberate, cynical play you'll ever see in
yeah.
Russia.
Yeah, I loved that game. Argentina 13, Scotland 12.
Amorosino, sorry, Scotland.
Contepomi is guilty.
Yeah. Execute Felipe Contepomi.
Wales 81, Namibia 7.
Geffen Jenkins, glory.
Carl Stepp's brew.
Yeah, that's true as well. Oh, man. Canada 23, Japan 23.
23 points all.
And fair enough. And a Monroe, inevitable.
Yeah, I like that. Italy 27, USA 10.
Oh, Leonardo Ghirardini, dick.
Dicks of day.
Yeah.
So that was the one where you had like 12 Dick of the Day
nominations. It was just constant Dicks of the Day. But Ghirardini did the most Dick of the Day antics, yeah. So he got Dick of the Day.
I'm amazed how well we remember all of these, by the way.
I am, yeah.
I thought they'd just go out of our memory like 2 weeks after we finished recording.
Some of them have. Some of them I'm really having to stretch for. But...
such as Georgia 25, Romania 9.
Mamuka Gorgodze played.
Please end me.
Yes, okay. That's also something you could say to the Samoan team at any given point. Seemingly South Africa did. South Africa 13, Samoa 5.
Was not racist.
I was going to say, racist refereeing, definitely.
By the way, here's the thing. If you go on Phil Monosopolo's Twitter profile, he still has pinned to his pinned tweet is him appearing on the news about racism that Nigel Owens definitely committed against him.
Yeah, yeah.
That definitely wasn't total bullshit. He still has that pinned to his profile, which is fucking ridiculous.
It's the first thing you see, and then everything after that is anti-mask and anti-lockdown.
Anti-lockdown, yeah, and the fact COVID doesn't exist and vaccines are terrible and... yeah. I still follow him.
He's me too. He's become a really interesting follow, I think.
He has.
For very different reasons.
It's interesting though, because back in 2011, I thought like, oh, his opinions are different, but I'm going to still follow him because I respect him because he's an international rugby player. And that's just kind of it, rather than realising, no, some international rugby players are also idiots.
Yeah. I'm just going to find like his most recent tweets.
Oh, there's always some fun retweets on there. Yeah, about the fact that vaccines don't work and all they do is make you ill and that coronavirus didn't actually exist.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of the, you know, the stuff he's always retweeted about, you know, racism against the Polynesians and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of, I'm just retweeting it, just reading, they're all retweets about there's no such thing as COVID or it's not a problem, you know, alternating between it.
Right. Anyways, please tune into Phil Monosopolo and Ian Brown's joint podcast that they're currently hosting.
Are they?
Yeah.
Is that a real thing?
Course. Could you imagine if Phil Monosopolo had a podcast with
Ian sorry.
Brown,
I was thinking of...
Tony Brown.
No, I was thinking of a completely different guy. I don't know. Ian Brown just sounds like a Kiwi rugby commentator.
Ian
Smith, yeah. So I just figured, you know, it must be that guy instead. It is not.
No, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, Ian Brown nor Phil Monosopolo do not have podcasts, let alone together. But I would definitely listen to that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd listen to one episode and I'd never engage again. A bit like, sure. I don't know if you've ever listened to...
a bit
Nick
like Stone Rose's first album.
Yes.
Or Second Coming, what's the point?
Have you ever listened to Nick Easter and Kieran Bracken's podcast?
I've not.
I listened to it once, and I got as far as them discussing Nikki's sex life, and I went, no thanks.
Anyway, how is your sex life?
It was really like that. It was very Tommy Wiseau. Like, I think it was the other way around. I think Nick Easter made a joke about Kieran Bracken's sex and his wife's sex life, and Kieran Bracken was like, yo, how's it going for you then, Eastery? And he went like, yeah, it's all right, you know, can't complain at the minute, you know, Mrs. is happy, and, you know, we're getting busy quite often when the kids aren't around. And you're like, Why am I hearing this?
I did not know that existed.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's tagline. It has like a woman do the voiceover and it says, you know, whatever it's called, the rugby podcast that doesn't take itself too seriously.
Oh, they like some bants from time to time.
Some bants from time to time.
Bracken,
you know.
And Easter.
Brax and Eastery.
Yeah, I bet that's what they call each other because they love banter.
They just love
get
banter.
Haskell on as a guest, although he might be.
Loves banter. That guy.
It's really
loves
weird
banter.
Because on an ironic level, James Haskell's probably too funny for that podcast.
James Haskell's way too funny for to round out that like 7, 8, 9, 6.5, 8, 9 combination on that podcast.
Because like, I mean, James Haskell obviously is not funny, but. He understands that a joke requires a punchline and a setup.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
rather than just saying, we don't take ourselves seriously, do we, Brax?
And their sort of analysis of the weekend would be like, you know, I think England played well, but Billy Vanapola, what a funny haircut. I don't know, I listened to like half of one episode. But as I say, like, I really don't want to know how Nick Easter's sex life is. But I'm glad I now do.
Speaking of Nick Easter's sex life, Australia 68, Samoa 22.
What a window that was!
Yeah, I'm very new to this whole world of creating segues, so, you know.
No, thank you, thank you. Yeah, that is exactly what we got from Australia, Russia. He just puts on that drop goal from when they were 60 points behind every time, and his wife's really into it.
So,
in fact, his wife was one of the Russian forwards who just won points out of that encounter.
His wife is Adam Burns. Canon. He's canon in the Squidge Rugby World Cup retrospective.
That's true.
Cinematic universe. Yeah. Much like Dicky Marlowe in his stat sheet, you know, they're in a loving relationship. Anyway, three words on Australia, Russia.
Nick Easter, sex life. Wonderfully pointless drop goal.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, Radiki Samo, winger.
Brilliant. Okay. France 14, Tonga 19. One of the big rugbies.
Oh, Tonga versus Dusatoir. I don't think Dusatoir was France's best player by any stretch or anywhere near it, but Tonga beat Dusatoir.
Why say scrum?
That's a really good one. I rate that. England 16, Scotland 12.
Oh, man. I mean, late Ashton try?
Yeah, that adds up. A bit depressing.
Yeah, fair enough. Both of those two things tend to go together in my experience.
Yeah, that's true.
Argentina 25, Georgia 7.
End pool A.
What's the point?
New Zealand 79, Canada 15.
Praise Connor Trainer.
Trainer over Carter.
Yeah, that's true. Did Dan Carter get injured, by the way?
Yeah,
do we know that yet?
I think.
Oh, is he injured?
I think he's not fit.
Right, he's not going to play in the rest of the World Cup.
No.
Okay, just wanted to establish that. Cool. Okay. Wales 66, Fiji 0.
Happy for Halfpenny.
Actually enjoyed Wales.
Yes.
It's one of the very few times in my life where I've enjoyed watching Wales play.
Especially
and it hasn't been more
Fiji.
Stressful than anything else. Oh, man, especially against Fiji. That was a delight and a wonder of a game.
Ireland 36, Italy 6.
Oh, third place Italy.
Yeah. Keith Earls' birthday.
Happy birthday, Keith Earls. You lion, you. You selection in the original squad, lion, you.
Yeah.
I'm getting a weird amount of pushback from referring to him as a snail when he beat Johnny May, by the way, which is unusual. But there you go. That brings us through the pool stage.
Yeah.
We did it. Which leaves us only one thing to do, which is to look back on these games and select a man of the match and a dick of the day.
one man of the match and one dick of the day for all of them combined.
Yeah. For whatever it is we want to take.
Okay, so, this is an interesting thing. I didn't know we were going to do this, so thank you for taking the surprise. So, my dick of the day is still DJ Khaled, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, he's always got to be there or thereabouts, hasn't he?
Yeah. My man of the match is this podcast. For
Whoa.
Creating so many incredible memories of this thing. No one cares about the games. People just care because they like your YouTube channel.
That's not true. I don't know why people listen. My dick of the day is Mario Burger Masco for never playing number 8.
Yes, that's true.
And
it's a basic requirement. If you're a flanker who can play in the backs, you've got to be able to play number 8.
You just play number 8. I don't care about you, Sergio, you know. Go and play centre. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? And my man of the match is the Ivory Coast national rugby team for qualifying for the World Cup. Yep. Their current squad on Wikipedia is their squad for the 2011 World Cup qualifiers.
Sylvain
Tian is in there.
Yes.
Oliver Dimardé, who played for Racing, a hooker, is on there. And they've also got Edgar Babu.
That's a good name.
Babu. Who played a bunch in the top 14, who was their captain at the time.
Interesting.
He played for them. Wow! He won his last cap for the Ivory Coast, still as captain, in 2015 qualifiers,
right.
Where they obviously went out, aged 42.
Fair play. What a guy.
What a legend.
Yeah.
What a hero.
We started off talking about Aleke Lutui still going into his early 40s, and now we're rounding it out on the same note. How great is that?
When his first cap in 2004, played his last game in 2014. 10-year international career and was a prop, so, you know, started quite late. Wait a second, yeah. So he was 32 when he won his first cap and he played for 10 years. What a hero.
That's quite remarkable. I respect
that. I love this guy. Yeah. I love Edgar Babu.
Yeah.
Also, he's called Edgar Babu.
That is such a good name as well.
Yeah. Played hooker as well. You know, played a bunch in the Pro D. You know, moved around the Pro D and Federal 1.
Right.
Before it was a fully Pro League. A bunch. So he played for Bordeaux for 4 years.
Right.
And has played for 5 other teams.
Okay.
In and around France.
Fair play.
What a guy.
Big up Edgar.
He also played for the African Leopards, which is like a Lions-type team of countries outside of, you know, South Africa and Namibia, of other African teams. And they beat the British Army
when he captained them. That's just giving me a flashback. Do you remember when there was an English Championship 15 played against the Maori All Blacks and got battered?
Yeah.
And, like, Tim Strether played...
Oh, man. No, sorry. I'm looking at the team that he played in when they beat the British Isles. So he was captain, but also in the team was Jacques Berger.
No, that's incredible.
But not captain was a guy called John Lloyd Captain.
No. John Lloyd Captain.
Who played for Tanzania.
At some point.
John Lloyd Captain, the Tanzania international.
That's poetic. That
There's Gareth Gilbert of Botswana.
That's better than Kenki Fukuoka's being born in Fukuoka and scoring his first try for Japan in Fukuoka.
Which is magnificent. Yeah, it's a solid team. There's a guy on the bench for the British Army team, though, called Lieutenant Mark Honeybun.
Didn't you once play against somebody called Love You?
Oh, no. My friend Jordan knew someone called Love You when they were in school.
Right.
He said apparently that, yeah, when they played like either football or rugby... they would, because Love You was massive, he was always their best player.
Right.
So everyone would just shout Love You all the time and it really confused every opposition.
Maybe that's why he was so good.
Also, right, a lot of this British Isles team is Fijian. This British Army team.
I mean,
there's like 6 Fijians.
See, also
there?
Any other rugby team ever.
Yeah. Ryan Grant, who I assume is a different one, but he's playing prop.
Ah.
And then there's a guy on the bench. Everyone else has the full names, but there's a guy on the bench just called Slade Jones, hyphenated. Has no first name, like a Brazilian footballer, but a really posh one who, you know...
No army ranking, nothing.
Just Slade Jones. He's a secret agent. He only goes by the name Slade Jones. Oh, they were coached by Brendan Venter, the African Leopards.
Ah,
this sounds like a great exhibition
game.
Very good.
It does, doesn't it? Should we do a podcast on that?
Yeah, I want to see if we can find that.
Yeah, because that genuinely sounds like a lot of fun. We'll do that, and we'll do the Invitational Championship 15 game as well, and whatever stupid Invitational games we can find. Let's just do a lot of them. They're always fun. The Moana Pacifica, who are now going to be a real team.
Sorry, here's the match report!
Oh, okay.
Okay. Tries were scored by the Leopards, by the captain, the lock from... Oh, no! Oh, his name's John Lloyd, but he was captain, but it was listed as hyphenated. What? But then why did it also have a C next to Edgar Babbitt? Oh, never mind. Okay. Never mind. Okay, let's call him John Lloyd Captain still.
He's John Lloyd
to
captain.
My mind.
Yeah. Oh, captain, my captain.
So, John Lloyd Captain, and by scrum half from Morocco, Jawad. Jawad is just Jawad.
Ah, okay.
That, oh, they've just given his first name. Yeah, his name is Jawad Azar.
I expected J-Wad. Like P-Money. No,
they've just referred to him by his first name. But then, yeah, the fly half from Namibia, Emil Wessels, went on to convert 2 conversions and scored a further 2 penalties. Malcolm Roberts scored the Army's sole try, which was converted by Mark Honeybun. The score of this match is also listed as 2012. Perhaps the Army scored 2 tries and converted 1 of them? Question mark.
That's in the official match report.
Just in the match report.
That they're not sure what the final score actually was.
They don't know what the score was. And it says, perhaps the Army scored 2 tries and converted 1 of them.
I'll tell you what, we need to start looking as far back at rugby games as we can to see if there's a point where they just forget the score.
Where they're just not bothered. I wonder if, you know, with early... There's a lot of nil-nils in the really early days of the Five Nations.
Yeah.
I wonder if some of those, they just forgot to count the score.
I hope so. Well, the referee just couldn't make it to the try line, so just disallowed
it. Yeah. He wasn't really watching. You know, he was doing whatever things you could do in 1889.
Yeah. Ruddy Darter's probably found it and called it terrible.
Ruddy Darter's, but yeah. Atrocious refereeing display by ancient
old
man.
Ruddy, you're onto something.
I assume he's called Ruddy Darter. I assume that's his full name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've said this the whole time. We need to get him on as a guest. He is a respected figure within the rugby community on social media.
But he respects nobody.
Yeah, 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 exactly. I'd love to see the dynamic between you two.
I bet he's listening right now.
Yeah, he'd probably be really pissed off at
you
for being
picture
a big
YouTuber. Ruddy Darter, like, you know, I always imagine, like, he walks like Scar in The Lion King. Like, he
I
just
always
sort
expect
of creeps
he wears
around.
Flat caps. He constantly has a toothpick hanging out of his mouth.
So I picture him kind of scuttling places, and he always pops up behind you and like, oh, Ruddy Darter, how did you get here? How were you capturing my lowest possible moment where I shat myself in public?
Oh, did that happen?
Definitely not. I bet somewhere out there that like Ruddy Darter has like a full like SD card of footage of like Mike Cat pisses himself in Canning Circus.
I bet that's somewhere on his hard drive.
Paul Grayson forgets to close door on public toilet.
Kieran Bracken falls over banana skin.
Yeah. Nick Easter forgets to show highlights reel in order to wind his wife up before they crack on.
Yeah. Warren Fury goes from first to last on Game of Fortnite.
Yeah. Paul Williams, brackets Samoa fullback, gets hit by blue shell right before finish line.
Should we call this there?
Sure, okay.
The last thing...
You don't want to carry on doing this game?
I mean, we could stay here all day. I think we're the two most qualified people to do this.
Oh, absolutely. Joe Worsley doesn't quite have enough change at the corner shop and has to just leave the item at the counter. Andrew Sheridan fails to use self-service machine.
I would like to round off with a positive, which
okay.
I hope if Ruddy Darter is listening that he will then soil this and write a negative review, because I'm about to read out a positive review.
Oh, nice.
Which
okay.
is the last review that we received. It was actually a couple of months ago. Step up your game, guys. Although we did get Deacon Marty fanfiction, so I can't
we
really
did.
Complain.
We did.
So the guy says, a good mix. A great podcast where they talk about everything from Italy-Russia volleyball to Vietnamese cinema and Asika Manu fanfiction and occasionally some rugby. Rather amusing. Well done, lads. 5 stars.
Oh, thank you.
And that is from Jeffrey Boycott.
Whoa!
That's his name on Apple Podcasts. I don't know if it's a similar thing to Feathers and McGraw, where we tried to once confuse the cricket podcast, saying that it was Jeffrey Boycott. But Jeffrey, if it really is you... Thank you. And even if it's not, still, thank you. That's a very nice thing to say.
Don't tell friend of the pod, Rhiannon Garth Jones, who desperately hates Jeffrey Boycott.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, more than... I think wingers. I think she hates Jeffrey Boycott more than she loves Gavin Jenkins, which is saying a lot.
That is a pretty extreme allegation.
Like, she's probably hoping that Jeffrey Boycott ends up in a Ruddy Darter video.
Yeah. Jeffrey Boycott peels his onions wrong.
Yeah, peels his onions.
Yes, I'm leaving that in there. Peels his onions
just,
wrong.
That's how it does it, you know. Yeah. Like they always say in Shrek, you know, like onions have many layers and you just have to...
peel them.
Just have to peel them. Peel them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's a wonderful note to end on.
This has gone on for far longer than... I thought this episode was going to be about 45 minutes.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
Here we are. Don't say we don't give you lots of content.
Thank you very much. Join us next week when we'll be moving on to the quarterfinals, the first being Wales against Ireland, where we'll be joined by a very exciting guest.
Yeah, boy.
I think certainly for me and William, it's a very exciting thing.
Yeah, somebody we've looked up to for a long time.
Yeah, it's someone that was a...
And is a big name.
Yeah, like was a sort of, you know, for... Not to put too fine a point, but like something of an inspiration of having watched their content since I was quite young.
Yeah. 100% agree.
So yeah, so that's quite exciting.
That will hopefully be announced at some point before the podcast goes up.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully we'll see you then.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, have a lovely, lovely time. And please look over your shoulder where Ruddy Darter is waiting. Ah! It's great. I love a podcast that ends on a jump cut.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.